Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Pure Nintendo Podcast. This is your weekly dose of all things Nintendo. My name is Gemma, and joining me this week, I have my two good friends. I have Kirk. Welcome, Kirk.
Good. Hey, how's everyone doing?
Doing well, thank you. And welcome back, Trev. How are you?
Yeah, I am. Ask me at the end of the show. I'm okay at the moment.
Okay. Yes, keep your voice intact.
That's what everybody says when they have to talk to me for a while.
Yeah. I should let the listeners know and just apologize if my voice does sound weak. We've had some COVID exposure on my end, and I did test negative, but if I do sound a little weak, it's because I've been exposed. But hey, I made it 4 years without it, so that's pretty good.
You did very well. I'm the one who sounds croaky for some reason. I do not have COVID, but that's okay. No, welcome back. It's good to have all three of us on this week because we have a really big show to talk about. It was a Nintendo Direct actually happened on Wednesday, I think, the 21st last week. And it was a partner showcase that covered a lot of games, 30, I think it was in total. So we're going to go through kind of the highlights, the ones that stood out to us, and our impressions, whether we've tried some of them, whether they're remakes or whether there's quite a few demos that were released after the showcase. So let's get to it. But the first one, and this is the first one that was on the actual presentation, and it was one of the ones, it's called Grounded, and it's out on April 16th. And the reason that it kind of caught my attention, A, it looks like a pretty fun game. This is the one with the kids that get shrunk down to size, like to little ant size. And my son was like, hey, this looks like a really fun game. Like he was right into it. But it's also one of those Xbox exclusives that we heard about recently that are coming to the Switch. So this is the first of those two. And they did mention another one later on in the Direct. So that's interesting that it's happened quite quickly, but I guess they're already, you know, they exist and now they're just kind of porting it. But it was interesting because it does have online cross-platform co-op, which sounds pretty fun. And you can kind of create, I think you can create an avatar and go out scavenging in the garden and ride ants or something. I don't know. It looks kind of fun. I was just thinking of Honey, I Shrunk the Kids the whole time.
I don't know. Yeah, me too. Yeah. Or Ant-Man even riding ants.
Oh, yeah. That's a more contemporary comparison. Thank you. I'm showing my age. We're talking about a movie from what, the late 80s or early 90s or something. Yeah. Okay. My kids haven't even seen that one. But yeah, that was the first one.
Oh, really? So, it's on Disney Plus, isn't it?
Yeah. I've seen it on there, I think. And I'm like, oh, we should watch that. I remember liking it at the time when I was a kid. So I think it's pretty cool.
Had what? Honey, I Blew Up the Baby or something?
Like something like that. Yes.
A lesser known
sequel. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't even know if I probably did see it.
I hope that's what it was called.
I can't remember, something like that though. Yeah, the baby becomes a giant.
Had like direct to video, like a third one maybe. Like,
well, I think so Disney, too.
Anything they release is eventually going to have 15 direct to video versions of it, right?
Yeah.
Fair point.
And then if it's animated, they'll make a live action version. And maybe they didn't do the opposite though, do they? They didn't do the animated versions of live actions, which would be a cool
and put it on ice. It'll eventually be an ice show that'll tour around the arenas.
Yeah, that's it. Anyway, we digress. But so that's Grounded. But I wanted to move on to the next kind of big one for us. So it's probably the biggest one on this list, to be honest. And that is Unicorn Overlord, which we already knew was a thing. And we know it's out on March the 8th. But the cool thing that came out of the showcase was that there was a demo released straight away on the day of the showcase. And I think we've all downloaded it. I think maybe Kirk and I have tried it. But I'll let you talk about it, Kirk, because I know you've already had your first impressions up on the website. What did you think? Tell us.
Oh, I loved it. In fact, I think the fact that this was a demo may have been the highlight of the Direct for me. I was ready to call off work and just go download it, load it, and get started. But I didn't. Also because last night was wrestling, so I had to get that out of the way before I had to watch that before I started the game. But boy, yeah, it's I love this game. The demo is about 5 hours. I think it gives you 5 hours of playtime. So how far you get just depends on how quickly you're able to pick up the game systems and move along. But fans of tactical strategy games with kind of like a Fire Emblem vibe are going to absolutely love this game. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it definitely, I probably played for about an hour, so I didn't get through the whole thing. But I was really enjoying what I experienced. You know, there's a lot of, I wanted to ask you because, you know, we've talked about demos a lot lately. There's been quite a few, and we've talked about whether, especially for RPGs, whether they start in the middle of the game or the start beginning of the game. This one felt like the beginning to me. Did it feel like that to you?
Yes.
The way the story kind of unfolded? Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it is because they say that your progress will carry over to the full game when you buy it.
You
so
mm-hmm.
Then, it looks like there aren't any bonuses. I know a lot of times if you download a demo, then they'll give you like certain extra items when you actually purchase the game for trying the demo. And they haven't announced anything like that. But I think that it, you know, we do get a real quick little backstory with the immediate melodrama that I love in my JRPGs. We're hit with that right away. And then we kind of pick things up. And the beginning serves as the tutorial to introduce you to the very, very intricate leveling system, item menu. But more importantly, it takes you right into the combat, which is a lot of fun. The focus is on the overworld in this. Like in a lot of these games where the map is just something where you see little icons moving around while a narrator talks to explain why the backdrop now looks different. In this, the overworld is everything. You decide where you're going to go to initiate things, and you have to find stuff in it. And it's just got a very unique approach with some very fun graphics that kind of tie the whole thing together.
Yeah, the graphics are really neat, actually. Like even from the intro screen when you see, I think it's like a raining scene and there's a queen talking to her knight and there's a kid and it's like beautiful. It looks lovely, honestly. It looks really, really cool. And I liked how in the combat, when you do your first battle, like first tutorial kind of battle, if you win but you run out of visit action points and then the other team gets pushed back a little bit and they can't do anything for a turn or two. It was really interesting how that works. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah. And see, it doesn't look like the kind of Fire Emblem combat, but it really is because once the battle engages, all you do is watch. You don't set anything up when you go in. It's all determined by who you're moving into combat and what the character's capabilities are and what sort of like skills you've given them going into it. And then you just watch the battle. Like in Fire Emblem, when I was every one of those training videos that they put out, I didn't catch that. And I thought it was going to be, okay, now we're in battle. Now let's hurry up and fine tune things and go. But nope, that's all done ahead of time.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's a cool way to run it. It's a good experience. So 5 hours, decent demo. Trev, you going to check it out?
I have a question for you guys. Hypothetically, if Kirk was to get a European account or an Australian account or a Japanese account, could you master the demo on each account so by the time you get to the end, you could see like a huge chunk of the game in 5 hours?
You would certainly get further than I did.
There's your motivator.
I have a feeling that more importantly, I think I was playing it and I was explaining that to Sam and he was like, oh, so this isn't a game where you want to fall asleep like you always do. I guess if I'm working on a 5 hour demo, I got to make sure I don't nod off in the middle, but you can't in this game. It's too much fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So if listeners want to see Kirk's full thoughts on the demo, check it out. It's on our website right now. Let's move on to Monster Hunter Stories Returns. Trev, did you want to lead this one?
Yeah. It's always interesting when a system gets, you know, games out of order, because the Switch already had, Wings of Ruin, Monster Hunter Stories 2. But this one was a 3DS game, and I kind of wish Justin was on this episode, because I know he really loved it. In fact, I think he gave the 3DS game like a 9.5 or something. It was really high.
Yeah.
And a really great game. But even though I loved it on the 3DS, you could tell it was really pushing the system. Like, especially I didn't have a new 3DS. I just had the original XL, and like it was churning. Like you couldn't even, if you closed it, you couldn't even go to the home screen. It like rebooted the system.
Oh, wow.
It was one of those. But yeah, a lot of fun. And I feel like Justin and I talked about it a lot, like, because we both you know, didn't like, you know, killing the monsters, right? It's one thing if they're attacking you, but a lot of times they're just roaming, looking after their eggs, and then you have to like sneak in and steal their egg, and it's like, oh, so it makes it more challenging to play that way, but I guess it's an option. And
yeah.
I'm just glad to see the original finally arrive. I hope, Gemma, that maybe some of the amiibo come stateside, because I don't know if you, I know you're an amiibo fan, but Japan had some cool amiibos for this game.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
To the best of my knowledge, I don't think we ever got them stateside. So, or I don't know if you got them in your neck of the woods either.
I'm not too sure. I don't have any Monster Hunter related amiibo. So I'm not 100% sure if they did come out, to be honest,
it's
over here.
Perfect time to, man, do it like a bundle, like they used to do with the Wii U, put an amiibo with a game.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. And so, yeah, because you're right, Justin, to give it a 9.5. I can see the review from 2017 on the website. And it's got full voice acting now in this revamped version with, you know, HD graphics. And that one's due out summer 2024. So it's not an exact release date at this point, but I'm assuming sort of July or something like that. Yeah, so that's really cool. I didn't know the order of the games because I haven't really played a lot of Monster Hunter, the series. So good to know it's the first one. And yeah, interesting with the order.
It's a lot less gritty too than like the mainline Monster Hunter games. You know, it's more of a like a colorful fantasy world than kind of that gritty, you know, like kind of browns and earthy greens and grays, whatever.
Yeah, it does look really nice. So yeah, that'll be interesting. Thank you, Trev. So the next, and Kirk, sorry, did you have anything to add to that on the Monster Hunter Stories front?
Well, I just wanted to echo something that Trevor brought up initially in that it coming out of order. I downloaded the demo for Monster Hunter Stories 2 back when it came out and was enjoying it and thought I liked it, but then thought I don't want to get it yet. I want to go back and play the first one, but I never did. And now that it's actually out on the Switch, I think it's more likely that I'm going to do that. We've talked about how once we reach toward like the twilight time for the Switch where all the games have been released and we're just waiting for the new console, I could see Monster Hunter Stories and Monster Hunter Stories 2 being the games that I could purchase to fill that gap.
Nice.
Yeah, they would make a good pair of games to keep you busy in the twilight hours of the Switch. That's awesome. Yeah, cool. Thank you. Another revamped kind of game, I suppose, that's coming out that was announced during the showcase was Epic Mickey Repushed. And this was, I believe, was it a Wii title originally, Trav? Is that right?
It was. And this is, for me, I'm really conflicted because I really liked Epic Mickey. Like, I liked it enough. I have a hardcover strategy guide for it, which, you know, also speaks to my love of print media, right? But
yeah,
I feel like I'm a fan, not just of the original. I like all the Epic Mickey games, but I feel like I want to see more of it to see, you know, if I want to double dip. Like Epic Mickey really was pushing the Wii in certain respects. But at the same time, you know, it felt kind of natural playing with the Wiimote, you know, like a paintbrush.
Yeah.
So I want to see what kind of visual revamp the Switch gives it. Because if it's just like a, you know, like a minor upgrade or whatever, I may not dip. But if it really, you know, looks like a next-gen game, I think the art style definitely deserves that. And then I'm more likely to double dip. So I'm hoping maybe that game gets a demo so I can actually see it in motion, like on my Switch, rather than just looking at still screenshots or, you know, a trailer.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, I mean, the trailer looks nice. But, yeah, it kind of already did look nice, didn't it? So, you know, we're not talking about a 20 or 30-year-old game here. It's only, how old is this one? I mean, it's probably 10 or so years old.
Like 2011, 10, 11.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so it's just going to be an HD update.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some HD updates have been better than others, right? It's no, you know, there's some that look marginally better. There's some that look a heck of a lot better. So I want to see more, but I'm glad that the series is getting back out there because, you know, I had a, at a co-op sequel. I had a fun little game on 3DS, like a side story that not everyone liked, but I like. So, you know, there's a lot of high quality stuff in there that probably deserves a wider audience that the Switch can bring than it got on Wii because it was a later release, you know, and going up against first party stuff like, you know, Mario Galaxy 2 or whatever, it just, you know, I can't really compete with that.
Yeah, it's tough with Mickey. Like, he's had some decent games over the years. There were some great ones on the SNES that I remember. But they're always a bit hit and miss. Like, some of them are great and some of them are less, I don't know.
Yeah, and Epic Mickey's not like a traditional platformer either. So you can't be just expecting to hop and bop. You know, it's a slower pace. Like, the art is so key to the gameplay too. Like, it's just visually striking. And I guess that's really what I want to see, like, how it, you know, are the textures just going to be unmuddied or are they really going to make it jump off the screen? Cause honestly, it was Epic Mickey really deserved not the Wii. I hate to say that. It probably would have been better like on your PS3 or whatever, but
yeah, right. I have a question about Epic Mickey, which you may or may not know the answer to, but in the trailer it sort of said, you know, Mickey enters this world and I remember this being on the Wii, I just haven't played it, but, you know, when he falls into this magician's kind of studio or whatever it is, and it mentions characters that were rejected, do you know what I mean? Like, who are in this world, magical world. And Hayden, my son, was watching the direct with me, and he's like, oh, that's such a great idea. Do you think they're actually rejected ideas from Disney, you know, that have made it into this game? Or, and I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, probably not. They're probably actually made for the game, right? But how cool would it be if they were actually rejected ideas or creations that Disney never used and they actually revamped them for this game, even if they tweaked them? You don't happen to know if that's the case, do you? So that was such a good question.
Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just thought that was such a good question for my little 10-year-old. I'm just like, I don't know.
I will say that the character of Oswald, the lucky rabbit, is key to the game and to the story. And, you know, if you just look that up on Wikipedia or whatever, you can see he was a real Disney character, short-lived. He was kind of Mickey, pre-Mickey, from like the late 20s to like the late 30s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, of course, Mickey, Steamboat Mickey came out and Mickey kind of became the face of Disney. But it's interesting to see them revisit Oswald, who is a real character, but definitely a forgotten character. In fact, I didn't know about him till playing the Wii game. And I imagine that's the case probably for a lot of fans because, you know, something discontinued in the late 30s.
Yeah.
How many video game players are going to recognize it, right? So.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I think if Hayden's into stuff like that, I think he'll get a kick out of just seeing. Well, I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to spoil nothing.
Yeah, cool. I was just looking to see whether Bugs Bunny or Oswald came first, and it was Oswald. So there you go. Because it seems like 1920s, 1930s, rabbits, animated. I don't know. But yeah, it seems like Bugs Bunny came second.
You know something, Gemma? Oswald to Mickey is very similar to the Simpsons episode where Bart and Lisa took in that hobo guy who said he created Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, yeah.
So rewatch that episode and get in the mood for Epic Mickey.
Yeah. Cool. Thank you, Trev. That's awesome. Looking forward to Epic Mickey. It doesn't have a date, as I said. It's just 2024 at this stage. So we'll probably hear more and maybe get a demo, which would fulfill your needs there, Trev. Let's go on to Shin. Now, I don't know how to pronounce this. Shin Megami, is it? Shin Megami 5? Vengeance.
Shin Megami. I think it's
Megami. See, Tensei, I butchered it every 5. Time. Yeah, okay.
There's the Tensei in there also.
Tensei. I should just let you do it, Kirk. Tell us about this one.
Well, this one's interesting to me. Because this is an Atlus game. It's along the lines of Persona, which is, you know, I just finished Persona 5 Royal. It's got the same basic combat where you're recruiting demons, you're fighting demons and opening dialogue with them and recruiting them and using them to fight others. It's an apocalyptic, all the Shin Megami Tensei games seem to be like it's us against God or God versus demons and humans are caught in the middle. That whole sort of like approach to these big grand adventures. I reviewed Shin Megami Tensei 5 when it came out, and I didn't like it as much as a lot of other people did, having loved Shin Megami Tensei 4, largely because I didn't like any of the characters. They didn't care about them. But also, the opening of the game, like the first 20 hours, was this slog of frustration where you just kept dying. It's a very punishing game, and you had to go to various save points in order to save. You could be running around this world, DA apostrophe AT. I'm not sure how they pronounce that. But it's kind of like this demon world where you sort of die, you're brought back to life by a demon, and then you get powers and you have to go create like a demon army in order to fight back against everything that's going on, save your friends and such. But you could be 45 minutes along before you find another save point. And just before you do, you get one shot killed by somebody and you lose all that progress. Very frustrating game. One of the things I saw in the announcement, they said that they were making some like quality of life enhancements. So I immediately looked that up and it looks like now you can save anywhere. So
that's
good. That's a huge fix for people who don't like to constantly be smacked in the face by the games they're playing. So I'm excited about that. But the other interesting thing about it is it looks like it also gives you a lot of new content. There's like a whole new second half of the game. But you have to start from scratch to get there. And I think I saw that you even decide early. So you have to play from the beginning and you're going to decide which path you're going to take. Then if you want to take the other path, you got to play from the beginning again. So people who have played the first game can just take on the new side, but they're going to have to go through the whole first half of the game first, again, from what I'm reading. So it's weird. It's kind of a mess of a release. So a lot of people are upset. They're like, this should have just been DLC. Why do I have to buy the full game again? Other people like, well, it technically is like a whole new game. They're just giving you the first game for free. So it's weird, all the reading I read on it. But like I said, just that one quality of life improvement will make me be willing to do this again, because I enjoy these games. I enjoy the way they look. The demon recruiting is fun. They have a pretty slick sense of humor about them that I like. So I think if people skipped it the first time, definitely picked it up. If you played it and didn't finish it because you were frustrated, here's a chance to get through it again if you want to pay. They also haven't announced the price, so I don't know if we're looking at a $60 game, $40 game. We'll have to find out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's no, thank you for clarifying, because I, you know, with the sub kind of title Vengeance, I thought it sounds like DLC, but obviously it's not. It's bigger and kind of coupled with the original game, so interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like, well, even if you are playing that first path again, there will still be some new content for you in there too, so even that is kind of a new experience, but the bulk of it is this whole new, like, second scenario that you get to play through.
Yeah, cool. Well, hopefully, I mean, fans like yourself are interested, so there will be others. And that one comes out on June the 21st, so four months actually. Gosh, it's only February, still early in the year. Where am I going? Fast forwarding. Yeah. So thank you, Kirk, for that excellent summary of that game for our listeners. Moving on to the next one, which I'm pretty excited about as well, and I know Trev is also. It's Star Wars Battlefront Classic Collection, which is, can you explain what this is, Trav? Is it two games in one? Is that the deal?
I think so. I'm trying to remember what they showed, because I remember I played the original Battlefront back on like the PS2, I think. And I guess there was the follow up, which I have no recollection of, not forget playing, even seeing. So
yeah,
it'll be brand new to me. Obviously I'm a Star Wars fan, like probably most of us are. But I guess the thing is, I mean, there's going to be solo stuff too, but I'm wondering how, like, online it'll work with the Switch, because and for that matter, like Grounded, you were talking about that with crossplay, like you know, Switch online can be hit or miss, right? Depending on the game. Some games, you know, like Mario Kart can be really smooth, and then other games can, you know, chug like it's dial up 1998 modem or something. So I'm just wondering how it'll be. Will there be enough compelling content you know, playing, you know, solo or local, and, you know, how much of it will be behind the online. So I get a lot of questions, but I am excited because I remember, you know, I had an epic field, you know, like running around as a stormtrooper on a battlefield where there's just tons of characters on screen and no real slowdown or anything. And it was like, and this is going back, what, like almost 20 years probably. So.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully it's good. I think, yeah, it is definitely Battlefront 1 and 2 with lots of bonus maps apparently that weren't in the original.
I don't even
title.
Remember Battlefront 2, to be honest. So that's going to be 100% brand new for me.
Yeah, I think I played one of them maybe on PC. I think I had a friend who was into it, and I think I played it with him. I don't really remember which one it was, to be honest, but it was fun. I enjoyed it. And it looks, you know, 64 characters running around together, like online, people could be fun. But yeah, it's that question over the technology and whether
you can handle. Like how quickly can you hop back in if you fall in the field or like I've seen too many games that struggle on the Switch, and I think it's part of the reason why people have been so clamoring for Switch 2 or Switch Pro is better online implementation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, we won't have long to wait. It's out March the 14th, so it's only kind of 3 or 4 weeks away. So that one's very, very soon. I think it'll be popular. I mean, Star Wars is popular anyway. Those games are well received at the time, I believe. New maps, new players, 64 players online. Mm. I think this
Battlefront was a... I forget what Sony called their like Player's Choice or Greatest Hits. It had one of those red labels that they give to games that sold a lot. So it definitely was popular.
Cool. Yeah, I look forward to hearing more about that one. Let's move on to the next one that we would like to talk about on our list, which is Super Monkey Ball Banana Rumble, which looks super fun. And Super Monkey Ball has been around a long time. And it's a Sega. Is Sega responsible for Super Monkey Ball? They create those games, don't they? They develop them or they publish them. Yeah. So this looks like a new entry in the series, not a remake or a re whatever. Although, as Trev said before the show, I think it might be that some of the mini games may be recycled, whatever. But yeah, 200 new stages, 4-player local co-op, 16 players battling online. Who would like to talk about this one? Maybe Kirk, since Trev just spoke about Star Wars. What do you have to say about Super Monkey Ball Banana Rumble? Which is fun to say, by the way.
Maybe Trev should go first if he has more experience with it than I do. My initial thought on this when they announced it was, I'm curious to see what they do because my wife and I played this on the GameCube. I can't remember exactly which one it was, what it was called. But we played it on the GameCube and loved it. We've tried two or three of the releases since then and haven't enjoyed any of them as much. Including the one they made one for the Wii, right? They used the Wii balance board.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe the one I played. Yeah.
Which I thought would be great, but it wasn't. Maybe it just wasn't that great at balancing, or maybe it was the game itself. So I want this to be good and I want to like it, but I'm going to have to wait to see what people say, because if it doesn't click, then it's really kind of nothing of a game. But if it does click, it's so much fun, so joyful.
Yeah, absolutely. What do you think, Trev? You excited?
I tend to agree with Kirk though. The Monkey Ball games kind of like those first two on GameCube were kind of peaked, and then I think there was one late in the GameCube's life that wasn't well received, and then you know subsequently, what was interesting, thinking back to that Wii Balance Board one, I think actually there was an option to play it with traditional controls. And it was fairly easy playing that way. So, which is interesting because the board was so hard to control. It wasn't just you, Kirk. It was so hard. And
yeah,
I agree. All the subsequent games, they've been a little hit or miss, but none quite captured that joyous nature of those first two. So I am going to take a wait and see approach, but even if the new stages are subpar, the mini games, more often than not, in my experience, tend to be good. So I'll be interested to see how many total they have, how many are recycled versus how many are new. And I think if they have a a solid lineup of that. It'll give the game legs even after you beat, you know, the main mode.
Mm. Yeah, it's been around since 2001. Yeah, the GameCube, like you said, was the first one. There was an arcade game slightly before that. And I mean, the GameCube title must have done well because it was less than a year later that Super Monkey Ball 2 came out on the GameCube. So yeah, obviously it was popular. I don't know what happened after that. There's a long list of titles, although some of them are probably re-releases, revamps, whatever. Mm-hmm. And they tend to others, be...
like the 3DS yeah. had one. The Switch has mm-hmm. had one from a couple years ago at least.
So. Yeah, Banana Mania, I think, might be that one. Or even Banana Blitz, yeah. which is an HD, I believe, remake one of it, an older one. But yeah.
Yeah, one was a Wii. The mainline Wii one was like updated with HD and stuff.
Mm.
That's right. Forget about
and
that.
They tend to be mostly Nintendo consoles. There are a couple of PlayStation and Xbox entries in there. But this one is exclusive for now, at least, I believe. That comes out on June the 25th. So yeah, let's hope, fingers crossed, that it lives up to the expectations that we obviously have for it, based on our 20 plus year experience of the game, the original games. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the Sega games, you know, once like the Dreamcast bit and Sega get out of the hardware business, they kind of find a home on Nintendo. Like Sonic games tend to sell best on Nintendo hardware. And, you know, I imagine Monkey Ball, because it has that cute style, is probably most popular on Nintendo hardware as well.
Who doesn't want to roll around a little monkey in a ball? It's just ridiculous, but it's cute, yes. I just hope the monkey can get out of the ball. Can he get out of the ball? He's not trapped in the ball, right? It's like a marble or something. It's like
don't
a
little about it too closely.
Air holes and food holes help them out.
It's like Pokemon, Gemma. They come out and they go back in.
Yeah. I do wonder what it's like inside a Pokeball. Has anyone ever experienced, like, have they ever explored that? Like, is it like, you know, like, I don't know, was it I Dream of Genie and the genie was in the bottle, but inside the bottle it was like a lounge room. It was like big and she had lots of room to roam around.
That does sound familiar.
Yeah. I always assume they just slept.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Get their energy back.
Yeah. Might be smell a little gamey in there. Maybe you can get to freshen it up every now and then.
Well, you know, we say this most weeks. We ask the tough questions on this podcast.
Well, if it was a lounge area like in I Dream of Genie, then would they even want to come out?
No, probably not.
Anytime they're called out, it's an interruption of relaxation. I'm like, I don't want to do this.
Come on. Seriously. Yeah. Cool. All right, well, let's move on to World of Goo 2, which this was a bit of a surprise. I didn't know this was a thing. Did you, Trev? Had you heard of this before? Was this a surprise for you?
I don't think it was a surprise because I think, what was that Game Awards show they had a few months back? I think it was mentioned in that. I didn't care. Yeah, I didn't care for that show too much, but I seem to remember at least a brief mention of it. So,
oh, that's right. No, you're right. It was mentioned there. I had just forgotten.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, that show was kind of forgettable, so I can't blame you.
Yeah.
World of Goo is cool. World of Goo is cool. That's hard to say. I think it was first on, was it like a WiiWare back in the day?
I think so. I think it was like in 2011 or something from memory.
I think when we did an old PNM spread, when they closed that service, like our top WiiWare games, I think that was one of them. And it later came to Switch. In fact, I have a physical copy from Super Rare Games on Switch, and it's a fun game. It was kind of one of the early indie boom, kind of like in the late 2000s, early 2010s. I feel like World of Goo was one of the big ones. And yeah, it's kind of cool to see a sequel after all this time. It does look familiar, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, because you know there's a lot of clever puzzles and stuff, so looks pretty definitely. Cool, and local co-op sounds cool.
It does. I can imagine you and Jen playing. I was wrong, it's 2008, sorry, it was the original, so even longer ago, 15 years ago. So yeah, it's surprising it's taken this long actually to get a sequel. To be honest, I thought there already was a sequel. So maybe it's because it came out on the Switch and that was the original one. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, when games get popular, a lot of times there's knockoff. So I wouldn't be surprised if there was like a land of goo or.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah, cool. So that one's out May the 23rd, so about 3 months away. Looking interesting. And yeah, co-op definitely would be a nice addition to that series. Next one, which is one that probably the only one that doesn't fall into the, because they said this is a wrap up of the first half of 2024 from Nintendo's publishing and development partners. But this one, Fantasy Life I, The Girl Who Steals Time, is actually not out till October. And we knew this was a game. We've known about this for quite some time. Now we have a release date. Or did we already have a release date? We kind of knew it was October, I think, didn't we? That's not new information.
I don't remember.
No, I don't know either. Anyway, it was good to see some footage of it. I was, you know, because I loved Fantasy Life. I think we've talked about this before. I really enjoyed that game, which was, gosh, how old is that now, Trev? It must be 2009 or 10 or something. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
I feel like it was maybe 20, man, maybe even 11. I don't know. I got to look it up now. Keep talking while I look.
Yeah, so this one looks, I don't know, the story, obviously, is about this girl who steals time. There's that whole campaign on the side while you're also leveling up to be one of many different kind of, I don't know, job titles.
Oh my goodness, some of them are
jobs. What? What year is it?
2014 worldwide, but it was first in Japan in 2012.
Wow. Well, there you go. So,
my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while. I don't know also why is this Fantasy Life I and not Fantasy Life 2? I thought that was what they were originally going for. What's the I? Do we know?
Wait, what? I don't even remember that.
It's called Fantasy Life I, like a little I. The Girl Who Steals Time is the subtitle. And just like in the first one, you can choose a kind of a path. You can be a magician or I don't know. Isn't there like a fisher person?
Oh, wow, you're right. I did not even notice that.
Yeah, what's with that? It's interesting.
Oh my
it's not
goodness.
Like a direct sequel. Maybe it's like a, what does I usually mean? Like iPad. What does the I
say? Is it I or is it like a Roman numeral for one?
I don't know. I thought
but
it was
that wouldn't make sense either.
No, it doesn't. No, I don't get it. Maybe someone can explain that to us. But yeah, it's interesting. Because as far as I know, that's the only... This is the second one, unless there was a mobile version.
Well, the game transcends time, so these numbers maybe don't mean what they mean to us, or letters, well, or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It could be that. And I mean, it looks, you know, it looks cute and colorful. It looks pretty 3D-ish. I suppose it's that kind of top-down isometric kind of style, which the original had. Are you looking forward to this, or what do you think? Are we concerned? Are we excited? What do we think?
I am looking forward to it, but I'm not enamored by the visual style.
Yeah, me neither. Why is that? Is it just because it looks too 3D or something?
I don't know. Like on the 3DS, I thought it looked good. I mean, it was built around the hardware limitations of that, right? But this one almost looks like was it Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl when they brought it to Switch? Kind of has that like chibi plastic look. And I don't know, and I'd have to boot up the 3DS game to compare, but I'm just looking at it and I don't know, it does look cute, but the colors could be a little more vibrant, there could be a little more like detailed textures. I don't know, it's one of those things where, you know, if again to harp on the point, if there was a demo and I could see it in motion on my own TV or on my own Switch in handheld mode, I might like it better. But like I look at this and then I compare it to like Link's Awakening HD and that really popped. And that's sort of a similar kind of stylistic look. So I don't know.
Yeah. 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 Interesting. I wasn't enamored by it either. I would love a demo. I think this one probably warrants one, honestly. I mean, it's not out till October, so it wouldn't come out. You know, demo might come out, I don't know, August, September, closer to the release date. I feel like it would make for a good demo because it's been so long since the original and that was, you know, on a different system. It looks quite different. The eye is confusing. I don't know.
I didn't even catch that. So I'm glad you brought that out because in my head it was two.
Yeah, I feel like it was originally called that when they first announced it, unless I'm mistaken. But who knows? I'm often mistaken. So yeah, but now it is I'm not mistaken about that. It's definitely Fantasy Life I, if that's how you say it. I mean, how else could you say it? But yeah, anyway. So we'll probably find out more. We'll find out more.
It's Fantasy Life, Lifey, like that that golf game you played.
That we can. Oh yeah, Golfinity. Golfinity is what it should have been. It's Golfinet, which is confusing. See, I call it Golfinity. I think that would be better. Anyway, another digression. Yeah, so we'll definitely find out more about this one. It is, you know, a good 7 or 8 months away. So anyway, yeah, interesting. I hope it is good. I want it to be good because I really did enjoy the first one, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's a game that can keep you busy in the potentially the twilight years of the Switch here.
Yeah, and now that we're seeing games and you know, as I said, most of these games are in the first half of the year up till sort of July, June, July. This one is October, so we are starting to see the second half of the year, and you know, that kind of couples with the Switch 2's potential 2025 release. We don't know yet, but that kind of makes sense, I suppose. Anyway, we'll see what happens. The next one looks really cool though, which is Penny's Big Breakaway. I don't know anything about this apart from what I saw on the trailer, but it's out now. It came out the day of the partner showcase. It's from the developers of Sonic Mania, which is pretty cool and looks Sonic-ish, doesn't it, Trev? Did you think that?
Yeah, I'm like you. I only know what I saw in the thing, but just the fact that it is a project from the Sonic Mania guys intrigues me, because that was one of the when I first got my Switch, that was one of the first big games I got. I think I reviewed it, and yeah, it's interesting to see what they do with a original IP. The mechanic of moving looked interesting. It's one of those, I gotta see more of. I gotta maybe look it up on the eShop, and sometimes they have like multiple trailers or extra screenshots, but it definitely looks good, and it looks like it can be a fun, fast-paced game, maybe a game that has replay value through trying to speedrun or whatever, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like her mechanic is like a yo-yo, is it? Or something, or a thread. She has something that she can send out, like a ball.
Yeah, kind of swinging about.
Yeah, she can swing, catch onto things and loop around. It looks pretty fast-paced, like you said. And it's kind of a third-person view. It's not like a platformer. So it's more like, yeah.
Really colorful. This one kind of looks like we were talking about GameCube earlier. I could see this being like a GameCube game.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a yo-yo, because that's the thing. Ready, set, yo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yo-yo is a classic, a lot of great games employed yo-yos, you know, like Star Tropics on the NES is one, so.
Yeah. The character could have been called, what was the one in The Simpsons? Was it Sparkle? The one who came to the school and did the yo-yo demonstration, and they all wanted to be, everyone at school wanted to be yo-yo champions.
Bart's yo-yo got confiscated because he broke the fish tank or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Anyway, Kirk, did you have anything to add to that one? Or not really?
Not really.
I just felt
too
like...
Too cute for Kirk.
Yeah. Not enough melodrama.
Yeah. Exactly. The next one is something that you probably both thought I would be interested in, which is true, which is Suikar. Suica DLC, and I was surprised, but also pleasantly surprised. And I'll ask you guys, I'll do a poll of two. Did I go and download the DLC straight away after the presentation? Yes or no?
Yes.
What do you guys think? Kek says yes, Trev?
Yeah. I feel like I should say no just to be different, but I'm going to say yes.
You would be correct. Yes, I did. So I did. I did download it. I did play it. It was like $3 in Australia, so it's probably like $2 in America. So it's nothing. It's super cheap. And what it does is it adds multiplayer modes to Suikar. So now you can play with two people. And I tried it with my son last night. Obviously, I wanted to do that. And he was interested as well. He's watched me play a bunch of times over the kind of Christmas holidays recently. And yeah, there's three different modes, which is pretty cool, you know, for like $3. And so you can play, you know, traditional Suikar, which is just trying to merge your fruit, but two people going at the same time, and it's sort of just a high score wins kind of situation. And then there's a time limited one. So you've got 5 minutes. The both of you have to, you've got 5 minutes to kind of get as much as you can and not die, like not, you know, because when the fruit gets to the top, it's game over. So you don't want that to happen. And the third one is like an attack mode. So you build up your little attack meter. The more fruit you merge, the more you build that up. And then you send fruit over to your opponent, kind of like, what is it? Tetris does that, I think, doesn't it? In battle mode kind of thing.
Sends fruit over?
Not fruit, but it sends.
No, I know what you meant. I'm just playing.
Yeah. Hey, that would be cool. A Tetris Suica crossover event. Yeah. Anyway, it's fun. It's a small game, obviously. It's just a cool little thing that you can just pick up and play. I don't
you know
how
I was thinking, Gemma?
What's that?
Because we were wondering, like, because that was free. That was like the free game for like Switch Online, right?
It was.
And we were like wondering, why would this cheap game be free? But that's why, because they're coming out with DLC, right? And then they get you hooked and then you buy the DLC.
Well, it's not, it was free during like a weekend or whatever. What do they call those free events that they do? But the game itself is not free. It's like $2. It's cheap though. It's not expensive. But I played it for free during the whatever that, you know, when Nintendo does those free trials or whatever they're called. And I got hooked, and so I downloaded it. But
get you addicted, then jack up the price.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jack it up to $2.
$2. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. $2. And then you use your gold points anyway, so half the time it's free.
That's
because
true,
you know, if you've bought a big game recently, you've got a couple hundred points there. Well, it's nothing then, is it? So, and I mean, I had put some money onto my eShop. I just used the Australian one for this one. So I had like $30 on there. So it wasn't free. It was, I used my gold points to get it down a little bit. And then I already had credit. So it was kind of free. It felt free. Anyway, it's good fun. If you're a Suica fan, check it out. It's there now. Enjoy multiplayer
mode. I'm
going
to start using that line too whenever I buy something. It felt free.
Yeah.
That jet ski in the garage? Well, it felt free.
Yeah. That's how you justify these things. Just know what everyone does. The next one is a very cool looking one that immediately caught my attention because it is a 2D action platformer. And we all know I love my platformers. It's called Pepper Grinder. It's out on March the 28th. And this one came with a demo straight after the showcase. So I think Trev and I both downloaded the demo. Have you had a chance to try it, Trev?
I did.
You did?
And it's funny, I was thinking of you too, Gemma, because I went through the first level. And, you know, controlling it, it's interesting, right? There's a lot of momentum you got to build up to make some of the jumps. And so I got to the end and I collected a lot of stuff, but I didn't collect any of the medals. There were like five empty spots. And I'm like, oh, if Gemma could see me, she'd be mortified because I know you're like a completionist.
Yeah, I got 4 out of the 5 when I did it the first time.
I did not get 1. Yeah. I really was struggling like to get enough momentum to make some of those jumps. Like I kept falling short but it was fun. I mean, I kept trying and I like the visual style like you. I think it's some really nice pixel art
It is.
I feel like once this game clicks, you know, that was just to get you familiar with the controls, but I feel like you could do a lot of neat things with it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's an interesting premise. It's a platformer, but it's you're holding like this drill, I suppose, and you can drill through certain kind of textured ground. And like Trev said, you have to build up momentum. So I think you press the ZR button to drill. But if you press B while you're underground, you kind of get a boost, and that gives you a jump that lets you reach other areas. And you kind of need to do that, otherwise you fall down.
Yeah, it's almost like you're doing parkour, except it's with the drill.
And it looks like there's lots of collectibles. Yeah, like you said, there's those 5 kind of, they look like pirate coins or something to me. But is that what you called them, pirate coins? Anyway.
I couldn't believe I missed them all because I thought like I was collecting most stuff, but
they were kind of hidden. Like they weren't in the main area that you run through because there's like gems or something that you collect as you go.
Yeah.
There's some enemies to dispose of. And then sometimes a wall would have like a little indent in it, which is very Mario. and you kind of drill the wall and there's like a hidden passage and there's a coin in there. So have a look. If you happen to go back, try that method.
Yeah, so look I will. I'm going to play it again. Then.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's a fun one. Yeah, so check out the demo. It is out now. The full game comes out March the 28th. I'm sure we'll try to cover it a bit more before then or around that time. But yeah, could be fun. It's, yeah, certainly an interesting premise. I just love drilling. I think it reminds me of, what was that drill game from like the 80s? It was like
Dig Dug.
I love Dig Dug. One of the first games I ever played. I think my cousin had it.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah. Did you ever play Drill Dozer on the GBA?
Did.
That's from the Pokemon guys at that Game Freak.
Did they? I did not know that. That was actually a really fun game. I forgot about that. Yeah, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it had the built-in like rumble pack and everything. So
yeah, very cool. All right, let's give Kirk something to talk about now. We've got Demon Slayer. What would you like to tell us about this one?
I feel like I only talk about games with Japanese characters. Is that what's going on here today?
You talked about something.
Well, it's definitely, it didn't sound like a cute game, so.
Well, see, that's what fascinates me about this whole thing, because it's Demon Slayer, which as an anime has some very sharp humor, and it certainly has some lighthearted moments, but it's basically about demon slaying, and, you know, this kid in the very first episode, his whole family is killed by these demons, and he goes on a mission to not only avenge them, but his sister kind of becomes a demon too, but not fully. So she's got demon powers, but still otherwise, is siding with the humans on this whole thing. I won't go into all of it, but it can be very violent. And we're getting a Mario Party game out of this. And I think that's absolutely fantastic. Like most of these anime games, they tend to be fighters. They're battling games. Mm-hmm. You're just, you know, and there wasn't another Demon Slayer game is already out for the Switch. And that's what that is. You get all the characters and you fight with them, and that's the whole thing. Mm. But this is very much a board game where you're taking the characters, you're doing little mini games, and basically living the Mario Party life through the Demon Slayer universe.
That's cool.
Yeah, as a fan of the show, I would much rather do this than have a fighter, a brawler.
Yeah,
it's much more interesting to me, and I think with this particular anime, it fits because it does have such lighthearted moments throughout the whole thing. Seeing these characters just competing in goofy games is somehow very appropriate.
Awesome. Yeah, it does sound unique. And I like that a series can do different styles of gaming, like, you know, fighters, party titles, as well as something more, I don't know, RPG-ish, I guess. But yeah, this is definitely unique. And this one's out on April the 26th, so a couple months away. And have they done anything like this before in terms of a party style game from a Demon Slayer universe? No.
I don't believe so. That as far as I know, the only game that has been released was the Brawler that came out earlier. Oh, okay. But on other platforms, I can't say for sure.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Well, that looks super fun. Yeah. I like the idea of that. Thank you, Kirk. Hopefully you'll get a chance to try it and you can tell us if it actually, what it's like and if it's any good. Yeah.
Yeah. Looking forward to giving it a shot.
Yeah. Next up is another one that has a demo, but it's Contra Operation Galaga. Galuga. Again,
I do want to see Galaga.
No, it's not that. And this one has a demo which I downloaded. I haven't had a chance to try yet, but Trev, I believe you have had a chance to try it. First impressions?
It's funny, we've been talking the past couple of weeks about like good demos, bad demos. I don't think the demo is inherently wrong, but maybe I went into it with the wrong expectations, being a fan of the NES game. I did not really care for it. Obviously, you know, Konami has a lot of childhood memories for me. And certainly I like Way Forward. I mean, they do great work, but I need to remind myself that this is a reimagining, right? It's not just a remake. But playing it, it doesn't feel like Contra to me. It feels like like somebody did a knockoff of Contra to put at the checkout to fool grandma. And it's like, oh, we have Contra at home. And it's, I don't know. To be fair, I only played it briefly. But it just doesn't have that feel, that look, that sound to me. Although it is very Contra-esque, so it's not like it's totally foreign, but I can't put my finger on it exactly. I think even just interacting with the enemies, like on Contra, you know, not the bosses, but a lot of the basic enemies, it was, you know, one hit and they're gone. So you could kind of run and gun your way through. Here, even the enemies, the basic enemies, take like multiple hits, and it really kind of kills that flow I was expecting. So it looks like Contra, but at least my early impressions, it doesn't play like it. So I think the game could be good in its own right, but I'm just wondering how many people who love the NES game are going to get into this, but I don't know.
Interesting.
I feel like an old man yelling at a cloud.
Well, it sounds like they're having a problem with Contra too, because weren't the last game, or one of the games they released on the Switch a while back, which was it Anniversary Collection or Rogue Core or something?
Oh, yeah, Rogue Core.
That was really off too for a Contra game.
Yeah, I feel like maybe they're using the name, but not the style. And like at least this one, I mean, I can recognize like certain set pieces. I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing here, but it just doesn't have that flow. I don't know if the core game is going to have options. Like, because originally I played with a health bar. And then I'm like, oh, I bet if I switch to one hit kills, not only is it going to apply to me, it's going to apply to the enemies too. But that's not the case. They were still taking, you know, 3-4 shots. And I even booted up the original. I'm like, am I misremembering how Contra played? And no, the NES game was a lot of just, you know, run and gun, one hit and you can run past. So
yeah,
I'm hoping, you know, the core game is going to be what, $40, so they're going to have options in there to justify that, besides just, you know, cutscenes and speech and updated visuals. So
yeah, I think when they say reimagining, it's a bit of a red flag kind of thing. I don't know, you know, it's like a movie when they take a something that we've grown up with or we've seen before, and then they don't just make a sequel. They reboot, right? And it's like a reimagining. And I think, I don't know, it doesn't always work for those who have seen or played the original, which is a shame, because obviously the people who made it probably are like you and would have experienced the original and enjoyed it. You think the developers would be fans. Typically that's the case. I don't know if that's true here.
Well, and the thing is, you know, WayForward did, what was the Contra on the DS? Like Contra 4, I think. And that had a great visual style. I mean, it was updated, but it still kind of had that Contra look. And this one just looks like, I don't know, like the texture work is off. It looks...
Yeah, it looks, it does. It doesn't look like a Switch game. It looks too...
I don't know how to describe it, Gemma, but it's just... And I like their work. I really like WayForward. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but, they do great stuff. They do.
You know, and that's the thing. If this is going to be a $40 game, you can get the Contra Collection on the Switch for half that price or even less when it's on sale. And that has the original and the arcade game and, you know, the SNES game and Super C and Genesis and the European versions. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's disappointing. That's not good. Well, I mean, the full game comes out only in a couple of weeks, March the 12th. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes, like in terms of reviews, like whether people...
Yeah, I might have to pawn off the review code on one of you guys because I don't know if I can do it.
Yeah, that might be a bit too much.
Too close to the subject.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, we'll see what the full game's like. It does look very different to those original titles in terms of is it too shiny or too rounded or something? It's like plasticky or something. I don't know.
Like even the characters have that kind of unnatural, like, goofy arm look. Like the textures look off to me.
They look like T-1000s who have mimicked something, you know, like they're mimicking the Contra characters.
Maybe that's the reimagining. Maybe they are.
maybe. Yeah, interesting. Interesting they put a demo out because, you know, I suppose it seems like a good idea because, you know, it is a reimagining. It's not what fans may have expected, as Travis pointed out. But then it's going to lose a lot of people in terms of sales because people like Trav would try it and be like, oh, I'm not really into this. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes. What is the Galuga part of it? Is that just, did they mention that in the demo? Is that something?
Yeah, there was like an intro. I think it's like the island or whatever that they're, okay. They're, yeah. And there was a lot of cutscenes if you played the story mode. In fact, it was a little too much for me. I'm like, oh, come on. Let's just get into it. But there is an arcade mode, at least in the demo, where you can jump right into it, which is nice for people who aren't into story. It had voice acting. You know, it was okay from what I saw, but I don't know if it was necessary.
Yeah, okay. Interesting. Well, that's a shame. But yeah, we'll hear more about it when it comes out. But for now, let's move on to the next announcement, which was that the Switch Online was receiving, what was it, five new titles, which are available now, I believe. And they're across a variety of platforms, I think, from NES to N64, correct? Mm-hmm. Like Blast Corps is 64, Killer Instinct is SNES. I think Battletoads is also Super Nintendo, from memory. And Snake Rider Roll and RC Pro-Am, are they NES titles?
They are.
I don't know. Yeah. So, Trev, you've had a chance to try some of these, I believe.
Yeah.
These are classics, so surely they fare better.
I own Snake Rattle and Roll and RC Pro-Am on cartridges for my NES.
So. Oh, cool. Wow. There you go. Yeah.
But it is cool having them on the Switch. You know, they are Rare developed games. I would have preferred the Rare Replay Collection just come over. Mm. But, you know, take what we can get. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's special Rare. These were Rare. This collection of new title, well, new but online titles is Rare releases, aren't they?
The Rare,
like capital R. Rare.
I think Snake Rattle and Roll will especially benefit from being Switch Online, where you can like rewind because it is very tough to control, especially playing with the Switch, like D-pad. Like, I don't know how anyone could play this with the analog nub. Maybe my muscle memory is too ingrained, but it very much is like in the style of Marble Madness, which of course Rare did the NES port of that. And then, kind of led to this. I think it's a great game, but it's a hugely frustrating game. So I'm glad, like I said, it's online where people can dabble in it and take advantage of some of the cheats.
Yeah.
It's like a vertical platformer and a little collectathon thing, and looks great for an NES game. It has a David Wise soundtrack, which is really cool. But man, so tough, even for somebody who grew up with this game.
Yeah, all right.
Cool. RC Pro-Am is a classic, easy to jump into. Little remote control racer. And it's a favorite of mine. I don't have a lot to say about it because it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I haven't played. I don't think I ever played that one. Did you ever play that one, Kirk? It looks like is it like a Micro Machines kind of style in terms of the top down, or Rock and Roll Racing? Maybe, is that a better comparison?
I would think maybe more like Rock. I haven't played Rock and Roll Racing, but they're bigger than Micro Machines. They're like little remote control cars, which were, you know, pretty popular back in the late 80s.
Yeah. So this was a 1988 release originally. From Rare. Very cool. I mean, I love the look of it. It just looks, looks cool. I'll give it a go. I'll try to remember to give it a go. Yeah.
I'm sorry, did Kirk play this? I can't remember what you said.
Oh, it's always safe to assume I haven't played any of any of these games. Jackal. I'm still waiting for Jackal. I can talk about that when that comes.
Oh, yeah.
Although you did pique my interest on Snake Rattle and Roll because I was a huge fan of Marble Madness.
There you go.
Or the arcade version, though, with the ball, where you could just roll the marble around by rolling the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're saying this is tough, and Marble Madness was pretty tough, too, without that. So, but I'm going to give that a try.
Yeah, it's really, it's a cute game. and there's a lot of there's a lot of imagination in the design. And
yeah,
just be prepared for. For me, like around the halfway point of the game, it just gets really hard. And on the Switch, ironically, I feel like it's harder in a way because I don't have the NES D-pad. I think they make those, right? I should probably buy one for Switch.
They do. I'm surprised you haven't got one, Trev, being the NES fan that you are.
I know. Well, it's hard when I have these original cartridges because I'm like, oh, I can just pop it in and play it that way. And
that's true. The authentic But I'm experience.
Glad it's out there because it's a lesser known, kind of a hidden gem on the three. Rattle and Roll is a hidden gem, not RC Pro-Am. That was popular, but...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I've definitely heard of both of them. I don't think I've tried either one, but Snake Island Roll, I've... Yeah, I'm sure someone I knew had that when I was a kid, but I don't think I ever tried it.
Anyway. It does have two-player, too, which is... you need really a certain type of a friend or a spouse, child, to play with you, but...
Yeah.
It's an option.
Yeah, well, we'll all give it a go, and maybe Kirk and I can discuss our thoughts next week once we've had an experience with it.
Yeah, you guys could play it online, right? You guys play together.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We could do that. Yeah, sounds fun. the other one that I think you wanted to maybe talk about was Killer Instinct.
Oh, yeah, I can mention this briefly. It was it was an arcade game, I think, but I played it on the SNES, and... The only thing I can really mention, I have a memory of me and my buddy Mo. They had a demo of this game set up at a store called Caldor. It was like a retail, kind of like a Kmart chain in New England back in the day. And we played the demo so much. The next day, I woke up with a huge blister that I had to like peel off my phone.
Wow! Yeah,
that's my story for Killer Instinct. And Yeah, it did get an N64 sequel as well, although that's not part of this online dump, but that's maybe in the future.
I completely forgot about that. I mean, I thought at the time, because, you know, this was the time of, Street Fighter was really popular, Mortal Kombat was really popular, and then this Killer Instinct, which was kind of an original IP, I suppose, for the Super Nintendo. It was pretty fun. I mean, I'm not really a huge fighting game person. I'm just terrible at them. I'm not very good. But yeah, they have their place. And Killer Instinct was fun. It had all these kind of interesting characters, interesting backgrounds, and it wasn't Mode 7, but it used something cool on the Super Nintendo to make it look like it stood out graphically, didn't it? I think.
Yeah, it kind of had like that Donkey Kong Country-esque.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense because it was from Rare, I suppose. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you ever try it, Kirk, or not really?
No, definitely not. Fighters, like you, just never my thing.
Yeah, that is hard. I don't know. It was always fun when I would someone, though, on like Street Fighter 2, and I was like Chun-Li, and someone was like Ryu or Ken, because that was like the hardcore people. And I would just randomly beat someone once, and I'm like, huh. Cool.
Oh, were you doing the phasm leg kick or whatever it was?
Yeah. Yeah.
Button mashing.
That was the secret. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, well, the last kind of show, I was going to say show, I don't know why. The last game that was highlighted during the show, yes, that's probably why, was kind of a surprise. I think a lot of people enjoyed this surprise, but it was Endless Ocean Luminous, which is, I guess, a new entry in this series, from what I can tell. It's not like a re-release, right? But this was another Wii title. I don't know what year it was out, but this new version, you know, you're swimming in an ocean. It seems like a very relaxing game. When I first saw, because I kind of saw snippets, because this direct happened at midnight for me, so I didn't catch it till the next day. And, you know, you try to avoid spoilers. I'm like, I don't want to see all the announcements. I want to watch it for myself. But I saw this ocean thing. I'm like, oh, maybe they're talking about Day of the Diver or something. Like, maybe the DLC is coming to the Switch.
Oh, I thought that too at first.
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed they didn't mention that, to be honest. But anyway, Endless Ocean looks like the kind of diving part of Day of the Diver, but in a more relaxing way. It doesn't look like you're actually killing creatures. You're just interacting with them. What do? Take photos or something? I don't really know, but...
I played I have one of these. I think it was the second one, Blue World, on the Wii. It came with a it was one of those games that came with an accessory. Was it like the Wii Speak, where you
could
play online? It was kind of early implementation. It was kind of a chill game. And I'm wondering, like, what the benefit of this one is, having like 30, up to 30 online players. Like, I don't really see it serving much of a purpose, but.
Don't people go scuba diving to get away from other people?
Yeah.
Like, that's the main appeal.
It's cool. It's coming back, because, I mean, there hasn't been one since, you know, the Wii days, right? But
yeah,
it's another one I'm just gonna have to see more of.
Demo, maybe.
Yeah, demo. Like, I'm looking at this screenshot with all these players just kind of there, and it looks goofy to me.
Yeah, with their names floating, and everyone's just kind of floating the same way.
It's like, what are you gonna do? Just, you know, I don't know.
I like the idea of the demo, though, and you can only go down 10 feet.
Yeah.
Like, you could snorkel.
Yeah.
If you go any deeper, you'll get the bends.
Yeah. I was wondering how they come up with the player numbers. You know, like, it's online up to 30 players. And previously we talked about Star Wars Battlefront with 64 players. I'm imagining, like, you know, the episode of The Simpsons, I think it's that future episode where Lisa has her future read, and Mr. Burns is frozen because he's been stabbed something like 100 times. And and Smith is like, how are we going, boys? Like, we're up to, I'm going to make up a number because I don't remember. We're up to, you know, 98 or whatever, right? So they're trying to find a cure for whatever X number of stabs, and they're up to, you know, a certain number. I'm like, how do they get to 30? You know, they're doing the dev and they're like, oh, we've got 28. Let's push it to 30. Let's get to 30. You know, and the Star Wars... Star Wars got up to 64, and I'm like, is this an arbitrary number, or is it how much the game can handle, or what?
Which is interesting, because Endless Ocean's a slower paced game. At least the one I played. I'm wondering, will this game have, like, you know, because the one I played had like a home base island you had, and it was like story mode, and I'm wondering what this will have. I feel like they were a little light on information.
They were.
For a game that ended the direct. Maybe not light on information, but I feel like they highlighted things maybe they shouldn't have, and left out things that people were interested in.
Yeah, because they mentioned, you know, the 30 player thing, which is, you know, it's cool, I suppose. If, I don't know, I'm not a diver. I don't, like you said, is it a solo experience, and does it look a bit goofy? But, you know, 500 or more species to encounter, that's something. And I haven't played anything else in the series, so I don't know how it works, but I can imagine enjoying ticking off things that I see in kind of an Animal Crossing way. Like, oh, look, there's a white tip reef shark. I don't know where that information came from in my head. But yeah, there's like, there's a jellyfish or whatever. Like, I could see that being appealing. I don't know what you do when you collect all of them, though. What's the point of playing then?
Well, that's a fair question, because I think that was one of the gripes with the original Endless Ocean, which kind of led to the sequel, where they had more of a structure, like a plot to it. But I think it'll look better on Switch, because like on the Wii, you know, the water, I mean, it was a slow paced game, but even then you could kind of tell where, you know, some of the water textures were muddier. You know, maybe things were drawing in the background, you know, where you weren't supposed to see them. So
I can see it being a relaxing pops. Yeah.
What's that?
Oh no, that's good. Well, I can see it being a relaxing experience. You know, you just at the end of the day, maybe you don't want to play you know, one of your JRPGs, Kirk, you might just want to dive and explore. I don't know. And fall asleep. I don't know.
And drown.
Yeah. Like, are there air tanks? Like in Day of the Diver, you know, obviously there's a time limit because you have air. Is that the case with Endless Ocean, Trev, from your experience?
I'm trying to remember now. It had to have been. I haven't played these games in, or this game, I should say, in well over a decade.
Yeah, okay. That's well, okay.
And I only played it the one time, so.
Yeah.
My memory is as murky as the water.
Yeah. I mean, it's a nice little thing to add to the end of the thing. Is it endless, though? That is my question. Is it actually endless? Can you swim forever, or does it end?
If not, you get Lionel Hutz to sue him for false advertising.
Yeah. Oh, that's a typo. No, money down. Yeah. Well, it could be fun. So May the 2nd, you know, a couple months away. Maybe there'll be a demo. We seem obsessed with demos lately, but for good reason, I think.
Yeah. Well, it does say in the listing that there's going to be a free 7-day trial for Switch Online.
Oh, I did see that. Yes.
So if they're giving that out, maybe they are giving a demo out.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I mean, I don't know. I'm curious. I've never played one before. I'm not like a sim person. I've said this before. Like Animal Crossing is, you know, beautiful and wonderful, but I just don't have time to spend doing things like that. I know this is not, you're not building a home, you're not farming or anything like that. It's just exploring, which maybe is easier and simpler and more relaxing, but I just can't see myself jumping in. But that's just me, you know, it's just not my style. I'd rather play a Demon Slayer party game, I think, with Kirk.
Hey, me too. You know what though? I think the reason why I wouldn't start this game is because I don't like starting games where I can't see a definitive end to
them. Yeah, I think that's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I agree. Because it's endless. It's in the name, right?
Well, Ending Ocean isn't as catchy, Gemma.
Yeah. Limited
ocean. Ocean with a hard stop.
Finite ocean.
Yeah, limited ocean experience. I don't think that's got the same ring to it. But yeah. Anyway, we'll see. I don't know what kind of price point this is at. I think it's like in between.
It's like a 50. So
yeah, okay.
Cheaper than a 60, but more than a 40.
Yeah, it seemed to resonate well. I think online there was a bit of chatter that people were excited. So that's good. I hope people are excited. I hope they enjoy it. I hope it's good. But that kind of brings us to the end of the list of titles that we discussed or that we wanted to discuss as a result of the latest Direct. Was there anything else you guys wanted to add before we sign off for the week?
No? I think that's probably more than enough.
More than enough? Okay. Yeah, we've gone a bit over time, but we had a lot to talk about. And it's been
I'm glad that Kirk's back. Because we missed Kirk for the 50th. So I'm glad he's back.
We did. Yes. I hope you gave it a listen. Yeah, so thank you. I said thank you.
I did give it a listen.
You could, yes.
I would not have shared the love for Star Wars Phantom Menace that you guys had talked about.
Yeah. It was a good comparison there, I thought. No, maybe not. If you don't like it, then you wouldn't think so. Anyway, no, thank you so much, listeners, for joining us. Thank you, Trev and Kirk, for joining me again this week. It's been a fun discussion as always. If listeners have a favorite game that was mentioned in the Direct, let us know. We'd love to know your thoughts and what you're looking forward to, what you thought of the Direct overall. I was going to ask you guys before we go, actually, what would you rate this Direct? Maybe out of, I don't know, out of 5 or 10, whatever you want to rate it. A star rating? What would you give? Trev, what would you give it?
It's so tricky because so many of these games, I'm like, I want to wait and see. I could see as low as 6 or as high as 8. So maybe I'll split the difference and say 7.
7, okay. How about you, Kirk?
I think I'd fall in right around there too. Maybe drop down to a 6. I was mostly impressed with the wide variety of games. There was something here for pretty much everybody, I believe.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not a single, I don't think there was a single, except for Unicorn Overlord, which we already knew was coming. There wasn't a single must own game for me.
Yeah, that's true. Nothing huge, you know, apart from that, but a lot of new information, a lot of kind of coming out soon type of situations, a lot to look forward to in the future as well. And yeah, really good mix. You know, we didn't even talk about every game because this wasn't time, but you know, there's one about a crab. There's the Pocky Card situation. There's that Kingdom Come Deliverance, which looks pretty epic. I don't know much about that, but the graphics are pretty impressive. Anyway, there's a lot there. So something for everyone, like you said. I was leaning, because I was thinking out of 5, I was actually thinking 3.5, which would be 7 out of 10. So I think we all agree. 7 out of 10. We'll give it a solid 7. So yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you very much again. And until next, before we sign off, please check out our Patreon site if you would like to support the show, patreon.com/purenintendo. I feel like I'm saying this every week, but we're literally wrapping up the current issue right now. So jump on board and get your copy, which will be sent out in March. And you can follow us on Twitter, Mastodon, or Blue Sky if you would like to see what we post every day. We've got reviews, we've got news. Check out Kirk's impressions of Unicorn Overlord. And until next week, thank you and game on, everybody. Bye.
See ya.